God, we thank you for the passage from Luke that was read to us and for the story of the 10 lepers. We pray that you would make that real to us. Help us to understand. Make it clear in a way that we would be able to take something useful and apply it to our walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain character traits that, let's confess, are just annoying. There are certain things about certain people that are just frustrating, that you feel just like you've just not had a good time after you've been with them. And we're not going to try to come up with an expansive list of every annoying character trait, but I would suspect that something close to the top would be unthankfulness. When people are not thankful for the things that happen to them or what other people do for them, that's something that can really get on your nerves. I once worked with a leader, and she told me that when I was doing things right, I would never hear from her. That she didn't believe in encouragement or giving thanks or anything like that. She told me that the only time that I would hear from her was when I was doing things wrong. She believed that the best way to get people to perform better is to just let them know when they're doing things wrong, and then to be silent elsewhere. Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't the funnest job to be in that kind of situation. And if I haven't thanked you, I apologize, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the things that you do here in the church and for our family and for our community. You know, there are times in our family when our children will just spontaneously thank us for something without anything from us telling them that they're supposed to say that, to say, you know, what do you say, or anything like that. They just spontaneously will thank us. And when that happens, that just feels so good. Not because we're doing it to receive that thanks, but it tells us that we're doing something right in the way we are raising our children, that they can spontaneously thank us for certain things that we've done. You know, I struggled with this in my role as a pastor because I was taught by other pastors that when people said something to you, when they gave you some kind of compliment about whatever it might be, that you were to reject that every time. You needed to deflect that away from yourself because if you received any encouragement, that somehow that was taking the glory away from God. And I was taught that by other pastors, so whenever people would encourage me, I would just push it away. And I remember one day, and I can still remember it happening, I was preaching on the importance of using our words to build people up and not to tear them down. And as I was preaching that, I was realizing that, wait a minute, I'm actually going against this, because it doesn't make sense for it to be right for us to build others up, and yet we reject it when they do that. It doesn't make sense. And so ever since then, when people will say something, I give just a simple thank you. I don't say, yeah, you know, I am pretty awesome. You're right there. You know, that might be going a little bit too far, but it's okay to say thank you when someone says something that is nice and is encouraging. Did you know that there's actually a controversy over the holiday of Thanksgiving as to whether or not it is a secular or religious holiday? People are not sure. Is it something that has special meaning for Christians, or is it something that just makes complete sense even if you don't believe in God? And I've heard people say that they don't believe in God and yet they are thankful. And I want to ask them, who are you thankful for? Is it possible to simply be thankful without being thankful toward anyone? And I'm not sure that that's possible. We need to be thankful to God. And that's what we're going to focus on, and that's what the passage that we're looking at this morning is all about. The context of this passage is Jesus and his disciples, they're beginning to make their way to Jerusalem. They've been involved in ministry in Galilee, which is in the north, and they need to travel south to Judea, where Jerusalem is. And to do that, they have to go through Samaria. And so where they are in this particular passage, they're just kind of on the borderland between Galilee and Samaria. And as they're traveling, they enter into a village because they can't just keep walking forever. They have to stop at villages and to get something to eat, something to drink. They need to stay at certain places. So they go into this village and they encounter sick people. And this is no surprise because Jesus has developed a reputation for being a healer. And so people who are sick are going to go and see him. It makes total sense. You got to remember what it was like back then. First of all, medical technology was not great at all. You were actually taking your life into your own hands when you went to see a doctor. You never knew what was going to go on. They didn't even have basic understanding of staying clean, of germs and all that kind of stuff. So it was difficult. And even then, it was only the richest people who could receive medical treatment. So the people who were sick were desperate. When they heard that there was someone who was able to heal by the power of God, they were definitely interested in this. And in this particular story, we have some men who had leprosy. And leprosy was a terrible disease, not just for what it did to you physically, although that was pretty serious, but what it did to you in terms of relationships and everything else. Because people who had leprosy, first of all, were not able to worship in the temple. They were banned from participating in that aspect of religion. But also, they were separated from all people. They were not allowed to mingle with other people. And so, even the fact that there's 10 of them here is probably because these are the only people that they're allowed to be around. They're not even allowed to be around their families. And so you have this group of 10 men who have leprosy. And so they are definitely desperate. And we can see that they're desperate because the words that they give to Jesus is not just, Jesus, could you heal us? But rather, have pity on us. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for pity because they are so desperate. And Jesus really is interesting what he does here, because normally what he does is just says, okay, you're healed, done. But he does it a little bit differently this time. And so this time what he does is says, go and see the priests. And the reason why he says to go and see the priests is that the priests were the first step in terms of them returning to community and to fellowship and whatever. They had to pass the priest test before they were allowed to do that. And so as they were journeying to the nearest priest, they discovered on the way that they were healed. They weren't healed when they were just talking with Jesus, but now on the way, they are healed. And they're just absolutely amazed that this happened. And there was one particular person who was so overcome with thankfulness to God that he stopped and turned around and went back to Jesus. Now think about what that means and what he's doing here. Because he is so thankful, he actually disobeys Jesus. That's really what happens. Because Jesus' orders were, go and see the priest. And what does he do? He stops. He doesn't go see the priest. He turns around and he comes back to Jesus. And he just begins to express thanksgiving to Jesus because he is so thankful for what has happened to him, because this has completely changed his life. And then we discover that this man is a Samaritan. The Samaritans were absolutely hated by the Jews. If you think about any kind of ethnic or religious hatred that exists today, that's kind of what was going on between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so the Jewish people who are around listening to Jesus and following Jesus, when they hear that the one person who did the right thing, the one person who truly was thankful that he was a Samaritan, that would just blow their minds. In fact, it probably would offend them. They would think, how can this be? How can this hated Samaritan be the one that Jesus approves of? That is just terrible. And yet, the Samaritan did the right thing, and he is an example for all of us. So I want to ask you, as a church, as a group of followers of Jesus, what has Jesus ever done for you? That is a fair question. I'm not being irreverent when I say that. We should ask that, because you know what? If Jesus really hasn't done anything for us, is there any point of us worshiping him? Is there any point for us to give thanks to him? I'm not sure that there is. So we need to ask, do we have anything to be thankful for? Has Jesus done anything for us? We call this a worship service. And the reason that we worship is because we are thankful. Just to sing songs, just to pray prayers, just to read Bible passages by itself is not worship. Just doing ceremony is not enough. There needs to be thankfulness. I'm not saying you need to be overcome with emotion. Okay, I'm not saying that. I attended a church where people were very expressive in their emotions, and they would weep in the presence of God, and I would look and I'm like, I don't do that. I was told that you should, in a worship service, you should have the same enthusiasm that you would have at a rock concert. Well, I've gone to concerts with Amanda, and she'll tell you, when I go to the rowdiest rock concerts, I stand there like this. That's about as much enthusiasm as I can muster for any situation. And so that's the way I worship. But inside, I am thankful. I am thankful for what God has done. And so we have to ask, what has Jesus ever done for us? Well, first of all, he died for our sins. And that's pretty good. I think that's a good reason for us to be thankful. If that was the only thing that he did, we should have good reason to be thankful. But it's not the only thing he did. Jesus also rose on the third day. By rising from the dead, he started the process of the resurrection, something that we will all experience, that we will all be raised from the dead. We will all have resurrection bodies. That's something to be thankful for. Jesus also sent the Holy Spirit. He told us that it was good for him to leave because the Holy Spirit would come upon us and be with us and give us strength and give us wisdom. That's something that we can be thankful for. What about our lives? Just being alive. I went through a time when I was really struggling. A lot of it was about health, but the health problems were causing depression as well. And so I went through a process of just taking time every day to find something to be thankful for. And I have to tell you, there were some days that I felt so terrible that the only thing I could be thankful for was the fact that I was still alive. I was still breathing. And so I would give thanks for that, because you know what? That is good. If we are still breathing, it is something that we can give thanks for. What about our families? We can be thankful for them. We can be thankful for our intellect and our skills that allow us to work and to provide for our families. We can think about the answers to prayer that we receive. Now, it's not to say that every time we pray in Jesus' name that God gives us exactly what we ask for, and that's probably a good thing that we don't do that. Because you know what? Jesus is not Santa Claus. But God does answer prayers. And if we have our eyes open, if we notice what he's doing, we can see that he is indeed active in our lives. We could very easily turn into the other 9 lepers there. That we could just go off and fulfill the plan and do what we had to do. Because you know what? Those other 9, they weren't bad men. They were listening to Jesus. They were good, respectable church people doing what Jesus told them to do. But they weren't overcome with thankfulness. The Samaritan is the one who took it to the next level. We need to be like the one. I want you to take time right now to think of an experience you had where you did something really nice for someone. I don't mean just that you bought them a coffee, but you really went out of your way to do something special for another person. I want you really to get that in your mind. How did they respond? Were they thankful? Did they truly express thanks to you from their heart that you did this to them? Or did they just take it for granted that, oh well, yeah, you did that for me? Yeah, that's good. How did they respond? And then I want you to ask, how did that make you feel? Whether they were thankful or whether they were unthankful, how did you feel in that moment? God has done some amazing things for us in Jesus Christ. We are adopted into his family. We have the promise of eternal life. That is amazing. God has revealed himself in Christ. Not just a revelation of saying hello, but rather becoming a human being so that we can understand who God is and we can become his followers. That gives us something to be thankful for. I'd like to end by just reading a little blurb here from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis is just so good at making things clear in terms of who God is and who we are and how we're supposed to respond. And this is from a letter that he wrote to a lady explaining the importance of giving thanks. It is important to keep on giving thanks. Otherwise, as one continues to pray for the others who have not yet been relieved, one simply fails to notice how many of one's intercessory prayers have been granted, never notices how the list of thank yous grows and perhaps outstrips the list of mere pleases. And if we really believe that God answers prayer, we probably should take that time to give him thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you give us. We thank you for the gift of eternal life, for forgiveness of sins, for being brought into the family of God. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to get to know you. You are an amazing God. May we have the same spirit of thankfulness that the Samaritan had. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.